What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Seven Figure Flipping Podcast. I got a great show for you today. We have a duo on, so father-son duo that live in Canada, invest in Pennsylvania, and they just finished their first flip, sold it, made a bunch of money. I'm not going to tell you exactly how much, but it's over $50,000. Can you imagine working a full-time W-2 job and then flipping a house and making over 50 grand? And then on top of that, have 11 more behind it that you're working on? That would be incredible. That was like my entire dream. My first year of really trying to scale my business was just to flip 12. So they made a bunch of money. They still work their full-time jobs. Really incredible father-son duo. And I think you guys are really going to get a lot of tips and enjoy the show.
My name is Bill Allen, and I'm the leader of a group of elite house flippers and wholesalers called Seven Figure Flipping. We don't brag or show off our success, but instead let integrity and stewardship be our guide. We are dedicated to helping people unlock the freedom they desperately need. If you ask other real estate investors, they will say to keep your secrets quiet. But we believe in abundance, not scarcity. And that's why we are the elite. We are Seven Figure Flipping, and this podcast is our playbook.
Hey, everybody, I am back, and I have a really exciting show today, actually. We are going to do another deal breakdown. We're going to do a conversation with a team that's in our Seven Figure Runway program, but they'll tell you how much they're doing. They hit the ground running, and I'm excited and pumped for them of how much they're doing. They just closed a deal, so we're going to break down their deal. We've been doing a couple of these in the past few weeks, and I've really enjoyed kind of hearing from the members, getting to know them better, but also kind of understanding what their numbers look like for their deals, where they're finding them, how they're underwriting them, what it all looks like and how it turns out. And some of them haven't been perfect, right? We've had some conversations about some deals that haven't gone as well as they thought. And we've had some conversations about some that they made way more money than they thought they were going to make. So hopefully when you're listening to this, you're learning a ton from these folks that we're bringing on. And I've got a dynamic duo here to introduce to you guys today. So Hale and Karimi, I'm really excited to talk to you guys. How are you doing?
Good. Great. It's a privilege to be on your show.
Thank you
very much.
Hey, I'm happy to have you guys. And I'm excited to hear a little bit more. We got to meet when you guys were down here in Spring Hill, Tennessee, just outside Nashville for our event in January. We got to spend some time together. I got to FaceTime your wives and say hi. And we hung out, gave you guys a lift to the event one morning just to kind of get to know each other a little bit. So that was really exciting for me. But I'm even more excited to hear about your numbers because we did some simulation scenario-based training at that event. And one of the things I was telling you guys is just, hey, I've seen this happen. I've seen people grow really, really fast. And I would just say, be careful. So I love that we've got one sold now. We got some result. We got some fruits. So before we get there, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about you guys, where you're from. I know you guys have jobs, like what all that looks like.
Yeah. So my name is Karimi, and the business that we operate is Mantri Builders, basically from India, immigrated to Canada about 6 years back. And we have a construction business back in India, so we have real estate experience about 30 years. Qualified as a civil engineer after coming to Canada, I took certification as a property manager. So all the time in real estate, fixturing, dealing with contractors, and a lot of knowledge about all aspects of property management.
Hi, my name is Sohail. We came to Canada 6 years ago. I just finished my 12th grade in India, and then I did my electromechanical technical technician course in Canada. And we started this business about 2 years ago, did a lot of, training, mentorship, went into, saw a lot of videos of Bill. And then, we started, looking for, areas to, invest in. And then
Nice. Okay. So, and you guys still have full-time jobs right now?
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
You're full-time as a property manager.
And I'm working as a CNC technical specialist.
Okay. I'm curious. I think there's a lot of people that are listening to this that have full-time jobs. And what was that like for you in kind of building your knowledge, your understanding? Do you feel like it was slower because of that? Did it take longer time? Tell me a little bit about that.
So I think that, if you're really interested in a particular topic, and real estate is very close to our hearts, you can make time for it. So, we listen to podcasts during our travel,
travel
in the
time.
car,
yeah,
etc. on weekends, even after coming home, we don't stop. So we continue to be inspired by various coaches and, you know, so with you, for example, Bill, it was like, you know, the opening line that you have in each podcast that really inspires us. You know, so after training a bit with some Canadian mentors here, for me, I did not want to join any Canadian group, because if I'm investing in the US, I want to join seven figure flipping, because the number seven figures is what we want to achieve.
There we go. Okay, so that the seven figure flipping marketing worked for you.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. We even have talked about changing that, because some people are like, oh, it's confusing. Like, I don't make seven figures already, so I don't qualify. Like, no, the goal is to get you to seven figures. I want to get you to seven, then we'll get you to eight. I want to get you. So it's like, let's get to six, then we'll get to seven, then we'll get to eight. And we just keep kind of growing and growing and growing. So, but it is a little sexy, isn't it? Like seven figures.
Yeah. I really loved it. You know, that got me going.
It has like
set
a
the target for me.
Yeah, it has like a brand, you know, set, like, you know, it brings a bell in people's ear whenever we're talking to like people, and, you know, we tell them that we are part of seven figure flipping, so that it, you know, instantly makes like an impact when we are talking to like investors or future investors or anybody.
Nice.
And secondly, you know, I'm a war fan, a war movie fan. So, you know, military really inspires me. So the discipline that you guys have, and, you know, we never got a chance to be in the military or whatever for different reasons. But then that really inspires me also, the discipline that you have, the systems and processes that you work with. That's another factor which, you know, really attracted me to you.
I love it. And you guys have families, right? Why don't you talk a little bit about that, so we can kind of understand what your time's like and those kind of things?
So I'll go first. I got married 2 years ago. We are expecting our first child. We just came to know our, like, the child's gender today, but I can't say it because everybody's going to watch.
By the way, when you're listening, I tried to get it out of him before the call, before we hit record, but he would not let me know what it was. So Hale, your secret is safe on the show.
Thank you. So yeah, expecting like a new member into the family, and yeah.
So that's in July. And I, in addition to Sohail, I have a daughter. So the daughter, my granddaughter came in last year in June. And so this year in June, we'll celebrate her first birthday. And we also have a baby shower.
Baby shower for
Sohail's wife, Rifa. Yeah.
Karimi, do you know what the baby's gender is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Nobody knew. Okay, you know. Okay. And you guys, it's so cool to watch. You guys are really close, it seems. So I really enjoyed the dynamic that both of you had. My dad actually just went to the airport. So my mom and my dad were here this weekend, and he came by the office today, just right around lunchtime, to say goodbye. And I would love to be able to do something like this with my dad. So I'm really envious of the relationship that you guys have, and just the way that you work together and spend time together and treat each other. It's really incredible. I think the Indian culture is really special when it comes to family. So my cousin married an Indian man, and we had the Indian wedding, and we do all the ceremonies, and it's just very interesting and exciting to see. So I would just say, as an observer from the outside, it's really impressive to watch how you guys interact with each other in the few days that we spent.
Thank you,
Bill.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the real estate side. So what does that look like? And you guys mentioned like getting some coaching and training and education, but when did you start really kind of investing?
We started last June, actually. The first deal was last June. And since then, we have come to like 11 deals. The first one got sold recently, and we made about 60K on it.
Okay. So last June, you started buying, and you've bought 11 properties and you sold one. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And are you doing this in Canada? You mentioned you guys are from Canada. Can you talk a little bit about your market?
Yeah.
Oh, so our market is Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. I'm reaching out to other markets too right now, but this is currently our main markets, is Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. We chose Pittsburgh to start with, because it's easy for us to like drive down to. It's like 5 hours away from us, and we And like we did a lot of research for like, you know, it's an upcoming state, city, and you know, like the median home prices are below the average American home prices. So, you know, in case something happens, we wanted to be sure that, you know, we're not impacted by the recession because it was looming, right, when we started the business. So we tend to, you know, find properties under the radar, which is like, you know, below the median home prices, and then, you know, try to work it in a way, and then, you know, we don't want to be, you know, get impacted by the, you know, we want to play safe, basically.
Okay. And where are you guys? You're in Toronto?
Toronto,
Yeah.
yes.
Okay. I'm not sure if we got that before. So in Toronto, 5 hour drive. So you picked that market because of location and distance from you, as well as what you thought the market was going to look like as far as price points, and then also maybe opportunity and growth or any of those things. What are some of the other factors you looked at when you looked picked?
No, we
That's where
checked
you
everything actually, Bill. We checked population, we checked the median home prices,
Demographic records.
demographic, and then the income, average income,
Who is our first
what's
home buyers? You know, like
yeah.
who is buying the property more in that area? So we checked all of that information and then we
And then
factored in.
Pittsburgh was also in the top 10 list of cities where flipping works in the US in 2023. So we sort of hit the target there.
Well, I grew up as a Baltimore Ravens fan. I absolutely love the Ravens
Oh,
football.
yeah.
So Pittsburgh was also voted as the worst NFL football team back then. It's like our biggest
We saw
rival.
the Steelers there, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, that's
Steelers.
right. So okay, the other thing that I think about that you kind of talked to a little bit was price point, things adjusting and making a shift. One thing is to have an exit strategy on the back end of some of these flips. So I always like loved Pensacola and Chattanooga when we were investing there specifically. Like I picked those markets because it was a low price point, but it also had great rental rates and great rental opportunities. So if I ever like got stuck with a house or something happened, didn't go well, it was a market that I would love to have some rental properties in. They rent really, really well. And so I'd always look at them from, let's just say I do break even or I'm only going to make 5K. What about holding that property and refinancing out and keeping a rental property there? I had, building a 10 rental portfolio, 10 house rental portfolio in Pensacola, worked really, really well for me. I loved it. So that's one of the reasons why I was really bullish on that area. And I never really bought like really expensive houses. I kind of always kept it in the singles and doubles, like the lower price point. And then I did get a little cocky and bought a couple expensive houses and lost some money on them. So I've done some shows on that, wrote about it in my book. So, okay, let's talk about the numbers on the house that you did there. Was it in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia?
So it wasn't Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Okay, so we got
Pittsburgh.
one that you've sold in Pittsburgh. You guys open to talking about it and like breaking it all
Yep.
down? I'll
Yeah.
ask you some questions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So how did you find the property?
So the property was on the MLS, but it was really interesting how we bought it. So it was listed for 125,000, and we offered 110K for it based on our calculations.
So we go by the 70% rule in case anybody, you know, is not aware of it.
And
Okay,
then,
so 70% rule before you finish, 70% rule, 70% ARV minus repairs is
yes,
your
the
offer
max
price?
offer value,
Correct,
yeah.
yes.
Okay. How long was it listed for? Do you remember?
Well, it's, no, not really, but
No, not really, because like it was pretty quick. Like
yeah,
we
really
were,
quick, yeah.
No, it was a house that hadn't been on the market very long.
Yeah,
No, no, no.
Okay, because I was when I just saw it, I bet everybody listening is like, wait, listed for 125 and you offered 110. Like, that seems, I'd be offering like 70. People that are listening to this are like, that's don't even don't offer that. So, did the house need work? What was the house like?
It was just cosmetic reno. So, but there was something interesting that happened on that.
Yeah.
So when we offered 110, the opposite agent from the seller's side, she got back to us saying, you offer 115,000, but you put an inspection clause on it. So our agent was like very gleeful, he was happy saying, we put an inspection clause on it. It opens up a can of worms, right? So we put the inspection clause on it. We offered 115. We paid the deposit, and then got the inspection done within 5 days. And then the inspection report said that the repairs needed were about $30,000. So we went back to the seller and said that, look, this is what the inspection report came out to be. And we offered $90,000 for it.
Okay, let me just recap this. You originally offered $110,000.
Yeah.
The buyers or the seller said, we'll do $115,000. So come up $5,000 and we'll do it.
Yep.
You guys said yes, but we're going to have an inspection contingency. Mm-hmm. You did a professional inspection. So you had a home inspector go out there and then wrote this big, long report, just beating up the house, saying how horrible it was. And right. Said you need $30,000 of work. And you said, you know what? We're not going to hit you for $30,000, but we're going to hit you for $25,000.
Yeah.
And we'll buy it for $90,000.
Yeah. Correct. So they got back asking for $95,000. And we agreed for $92,500.
Okay, so yeah. So you then you made it. You tried to renegotiate down to $90,000. They said no, $95,000. And then you said we'll do it at $92,500.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay, so $92,500 is our purchase price.
Yes.
So we only went up, you know. We already had factored in the rehab cost. But then, you know, our rehab cost went higher because of the inspection report, because there were like termite issues and then...
Termites? What else was on there that was kind of a big...
Termite issues. There was like some cracks in the wall. And then there was like a, you know, outside retaining wall needed, you know, to be fixed again. That's outside exterior, you know, like a backyard retaining wall.
Yeah.
Because most of the houses in Pittsburgh is like on a hill. So like you get off a hill and then other house is on another hill. So it's like, you know, you gotta fix those retaining walls before you, you know, sell the property. So so our rehab cost went higher. So that's why we renegotiated.
Okay.
The deal.
Got it. So $92,500 purchase price. what was your estimated ARV when you guys were running the numbers on this house?
So when we started when we first quoted, we were having an ARV in mind of $250,000.
$250,000,
yeah.
Okay. Wow, $250,000 ARV and it's listed at $125,000.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. That sounds. And what did you expect your rehab cost to be?
So at that time, it was like $60,000.
$60,000. Yeah. $60,000. So. If I do the 70% rule, and it's going to be public math, 30% of 250 is $75,000. So I subtract 250 minus $75,000, I get $175,000. And then I subtract $60,000 from that, I get $115,000.
Yeah.
Which your offer was $110,000. They came back at $115,000. You said yes. So your 70% rule. Yeah. What I want to, if you're listening, okay, I know you're listening to this because you're listening to the podcast. So for those of you listening, the challenge with the 70% rule is if the ARV is really low, okay? If the ARV is very low. So let's say the ARV is 100,000. If the ARV is 100,000, your 70% rule is the 70% minus repair costs. So in that 30%, in the 30% that you're removing from the ARV is a few things. It's your fixed costs, okay? Which includes money, holding costs, all those things, closing costs, all that stuff, right? And it includes your profit. So your profit and your fixed costs are all included in there, right? So yeah. Closing costs, I don't know. You got to mow the grass. You got to shovel snow in Pittsburgh during the winter. You've got money costs. You got hard money loans. You got points. You've got insurance, right? You've got utilities. Right. You got power. You got trash. Maybe you got sewer. You got water. You got all that stuff, right? So yeah. That's all included. So if you have $100,000 ARV, that means $30,000, you have all those fixed costs and your profit. So at a very low ARV, the 70% rule kind of falls apart. So you got to be careful of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then on a really high ARV, let's say the ARV is a million, right? $300,000 might be too much.
Might be too much, yeah.
To run your numbers. When you got an ARV of 250, now in that $75,000 is your money costs, your closing costs, your utilities, all those things, and your profit. It plays a lot better when we have that ARV around 200 to 300 or 400 or so.
Right. Yep.
So I just want to put that caution out because then people are going to be like, oh, everybody should use the 70% rule. Like that used to be the thing. Everybody would do it. And really, I prefer a more fixed cost model where I'm actually building out all the fixed costs. So I just want to put that disclaimer out there. But your numbers work really well in this case. We've got $115,000 offer. And what I've always found was, like, I almost always landed at like 50% ARV in my world, where it doesn't work for $1 million or $2 million properties, but it does in that sweet spot of, like, you know, 200 to 350 or so, where my ARVs would always land in Pensacola. So, okay. $60,000 rehab budget in the beginning, ARV of 250. So you closed on it, 92,500. How did you fund the property? Like, how did you finance the property?
So we had an internal lender. We didn't take a hard money loan, but we had arranged private money.
Private money. Okay. Are you comfortable sharing what the terms were on that and what it looked like?
Yeah. So it was no origination fees. It's just a pure 15% loan.
No points, 15% interest?
Yeah.
Yep.
Monthly payments or a balloon at the end?
Balloon.
Okay, so no payments.
Yeah.
So that's the nice thing about private lenders is you can set the terms, you can set the structure. So no points, 15% interest, no payments. Did they fund 100% of it?
Yeah.
So 100% of the purchase. What about the rehab?
Yeah, rehab included.
Everything. Yeah.
Okay, did they give you all the money up front, or did you have to do a draw on the rehab money?
No, we did draws.
Okay. And so is this a professional money lender, or was it like friend, family, somebody?
Friends and family.
Okay, friend and family. So this is nice. You've got a, and I'm assuming you didn't pay money. You only paid interest on the money that you were borrowing for the time that you had it.
Yeah.
Got it. Yes.
Okay. So the difference here is sometimes if you have a professional hard money lender and you have the purchase price and rehab, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to charge you on all of it the whole time because they can't use it. They got to put it in. I got to put it away in an account. So that's how I work. If I do a hard money loan, I'm charging on the entire amount, whether you have the draw out or not. Right. Now, in this case, if they took a $10,000 draw, you know, on day one, and then they didn't get the next $10,000 for another month, then they're not paying on that extra $10,000 for another month. So they're getting that. They're only paying interest when they have it, and it's all accruing. So they don't have to make monthly payments either, which is a big deal when you're talking about cash flow for a flip like this. Cool. Okay. That's great. Okay. And I'm sure that money lender was happy when you paid them back with 15% interest. They're like, how many more of these are we going to do?
They're reinvested back in our company.
Into another deal.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
They want to keep it rolling.
Yep. I'm sure. Tell them to go play poker with some of their friends and tell them about all the money they're making in real estate. Then you'll get four or five more investors. So, okay. So you closed on it. Is it hard to close on a property in the U.S. when you live in Canada? Is there anything extra that has to happen?
No. It's very simple, very easy. In fact, for Canadians, we don't even have to travel to the U.S. to close. We sign before a notary in Canada, and that's all. So it's, I think U.S. laws for business are very pro-business, and we love it. I mean, that's why we were able to scale up so fast, right?
Yep. Is a notary in Canada really expensive?
No. $250, $300.
How much?
$250, $300.
$300.
Yeah.
And then
the fun part is when we went back to our notary for a couple of deals, he's become an investor now with us.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, for $300, he should have a lot of money. I think my notary charged me $20 to come to my house and notarize something. So.
You know, we just notarize each and every page, you know, so.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, 50 pages.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we've got the purchase price, the rehab. And okay, during the rehab, like, how long did the rehab take? You know, what happened along the way? Were there any surprises?
Yeah.
So rehab, you know, I usually, you know, handle the rehab in our, you know, business model. He takes care of the finances. I take care of the rehab. So this rehab was fairly quick. We did like cosmetic rehab, and then we refinished, you know, cupboards and all of that. So we finished the whole rehab in about 3.5-4 months.
Okay, 3.5 to 4 months. Was it a contractor, like a general contractor you used?
Yes, general contractor. Yes.
Okay, and how'd you find them?
So I did some, you know, cold calling. I talked to like realtors of our firms, and then, you know, I tried to find out if they have some contractors that we can, you know, they can share numbers of. So like the our comp, so like I just told our contractor that we just have to copy this house, whatever you did, help the previous owner sell their house. We want to do something similar over here. And he understood the plan. We didn't want it to go super overboard with the reno. And we just wanted to like test water, like how things are gonna play out. Because it's our first deal, right? You don't know how things are gonna play out. So we didn't want it to go super overboard with all the finishes. We tried to like retain the cabinets. We did like new kitchen, new countertops, backsplash, new bathroom fixtures, everything new over there. So that's the thing, right? We make money in the kitchen and the bathroom reno. Everything else where there is like a big area, people don't try to concentrate over there, but bathroom and kitchen, you want to concentrate, like make the returns.
Nice. Okay. So you got it fixed up. Were there any, like anything that you didn't foresee that came up or any problems, or was it pretty smooth?
Yeah. So we didn't budget enough for, you know, the exterior work. So like because we were planning to keep it as a rental before, but then we switched. We were like, because our realtor, he was like, if you want to keep it, you can keep it. You'll make it like a cash flowing property and then sell it because it's very close to the university. So, and then we were like, you know, and during the rehab stage, our realtor, he was like, the area is pretty good. It's turning. You might want to flip this one. And we were like, okay, so we didn't plan the exterior work to be done. We were like, we just do all the inside work. Exterior, we can, you know, finish it, you know, in partial payments, and, you know, we can go stage by stage. So we want to add mulch, we want to add, you know, make paint the exterior, do this, do that. But then we were like, okay, so if we want to flip it, then we'll do some exterior work. So we talked to our contractor, made like a change order, and he was pretty good. Like our contractor, he's pretty good. So he understood our situation, and we were like, we don't have enough money. So like, so he gave us like a great deal, and we ended up, nice. You know.
How do you manage something like that from a distance?
So we do weekly updates from the contractor. So he has like a project manager himself. So the project manager sends us, you know, weekly update. But for most of the parts, I was. He asked me what finishes and what stuff I want to do in the house, like what tiles to put in. So I gave him all the Home Depot links. I asked him what budget he's going for or he's looking at for like tiles. So I picked a lot of items for him. He went and, you know, his project manager called me from Home Depot. I was there on the phone with him. I was like, oh, pick this, pick that, you know, went like a very simple modern finish. And yeah.
We do form a WhatsApp group for each project to manage them properly. So on that, everything is mentioned. So, you know, all the calls go out, the group calls and everything. So realtor is involved in it, and also the contractor is there on the WhatsApp call. So that becomes really useful.
Correct.
Got it. Nice. Okay, so give me the numbers. Like, what did the rehab end up costing you with all the kind of change orders and some of the extras? What did you guys end up spending on it?
$75,000.
So $15,000 over budget.
Yeah.
And then what did the property end up selling for?
So we listed at $275,000.
So why did you list it $25,000 higher than what you were expecting?
So when we were ready to list, we again asked the realtor for comps.
Yeah.
And we found that property was selling for like $309,000 and $315,000, about not on the same street, but adjoining streets.
Yeah.
So our realtor was still maintaining the $250,000 figure, but then we listed at $275,000.
So that was your choice. The realtor said, let's stay at $250,000.
Yeah.
You said, no, we think we can get $275,000 based on the comps that we're seeing in the market and things like that.
Yeah. And then also, so we got sold in 3 days. We got two offers. $281,111 was the offer that we accepted finally.
Okay, wait. So the two offers, you got two offers in 3 days. You got two offers. What were the offers? Do you remember what they were when they came in first?
The one was
escalation. One was the offer that had like escalation. So yeah. They offered 276 going up to 280. And then the second one was 280. And then, so we went back and we were like, do you want a better offer?
So there were two, like other, our choice was to go with the buyer who went to the FHA loan. So they wanted an FHA, and then there was no other inspection on the property. They just wanted to do sewer scoping and then cutting the tree branches a bit. So we did that. And then, I also want to mention that, we are very buyer focused. So what we do for each project that we have is that we do building inspection before and after. So one before rehab or during the rehab, and one at the end where we are able to give a very clean report to the buyer. The second is that we do a home warranty for all projects. And in this case also sewer scoping was all covered, you know,
if there are any blockages or whatever, so it's covered under the sewer warranty and everything.
And then the third thing is all our projects are designed by a professional interior designer.
That came after this project.
Yeah. So now what's everything is color coded perfectly, you know, matching with the bathroom, kitchen cabinets, backsplash, everything. So that's something that we started after this project, but he was also involved in this project too.
Yeah, because no, yes,
but
yes,
he started at the end, basically.
What does that cost you, interior designer?
So we he's from Canada. We pay him about $1,000.
$1,000 a project.
Project, yeah.
So he's local to you, but looks local at all the photos and design and everything. He picks.
So he's also part of the WhatsApp group, so that he's totally informed about the finishes and everything. You know, contractors can also reach out to him directly.
Mm-hmm.
Are the finishes up in Canada similar, or are they more European style finishes?
No, similar.
Similar.
Absolutely.
Similar, like US style bathrooms, kitchens, tiles, those kind of things. Yep. Very similar.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Cause I mean, I remember watching my experience of Canadian real estate is like, HGTV, probably like that guy Scott McGivelry, is that his name?
Yeah.
And so watching some of his shows, and then maybe like Love It or List It, I think was up in Canada. So I'd watch some of those like shows, and I think they were. I've also watched a lot of like British Homes Under the Hammer and stuff like that. So I know there is some kind of European influence there in certain areas. So in Toronto, it's very much like the tiles are the same and things like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. So home warranty inspection. I think the inspection piece is interesting. You do an inspection before. Do you use the same inspector to come back multiple times, or do you use a different inspector?
Oh, the same inspector.
Same inspector.
Same person that did it before. They'll come in after to make and give a report. Yeah. Okay. That's probably smart. I would say the inspectors are always the people that drove me crazy when I was flipping houses, like a lot of houses. It was the fact that they're trying to justify the amount of cost that they're paying. So if I'm paying you like $550 to inspect the home as a buyer, it's like, how do I get you your $550 or $1,000 back so I pay for my cost? So when you have the same person come in, they're basically like justifying that you did the things that they said that you should fix. You already know what they're looking for. And they're not like, oh, I missed this on the first one or the second one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, this contractor too, you know, he pointed out that this contractor already fixed the new joists for the
turbine
termites. But he did tell them that you need to spray, you know, get a professional pest control treatment done. So, you know, he brought that a contractor in, and, you know, so a specialist treatment for the pests and all that. So
great.
It does matter. Yeah, it does help, according to me. Yeah.
Okay. So your sale price went up like $31,000 and some change, and your rehab budget went up $15,000. So that's a good delta. When the rehab budget goes up less than the ARV goes up. So, what'd you guys end up making on this deal?
So we made about $60,000 on it.
$60,000.
Yep.
That's a pretty good few months of work.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, great. Yeah. So we're expecting the money now.
Yeah.
Today itself.
Oh, today you get the money today?
Yeah.
Are you refreshing? You have one screen of the podcast.
I checked my bank account like 5 times during the day already.
Since we've been on the show, 5 times since you've been recording.
Yeah.
Okay, 60,000. That's great. So, what are you going to do with the money? You going to go to Disney World or what?
So my plans are different. I want to start investing into a cash flowing property so that we diversify our portfolio a bit, and so that will help us in the future. So want to leave like a legacy behind for kids, for family, so that we're not bound by any we want to be like free of like work towards our financial freedom, basically.
Yeah. So you mentioned you guys were going to keep this as a rental. What is your plan? Like, you're going to take this money and you're going to go buy a rental, or you're going to keep some of these? What is the plan for you guys going forward?
So our plan is to buy like a duplex or a triplex, and get it within the 1% rule, so that we qualify for doing a BOR. I know perfect BORs are really very difficult to find. But even if we have like about 10-15K left in the property, we'll still, we'll still look for something like that, because that helps, in future, property with property value increasing, Pittsburgh, getting more, into like technical, and, has a lot of engineering colleges and universities over there. So I think the price of the property are like appreciating quite a bit. And as long as we are in the positives, we are good.
And then the friends and family whom we're going to return the money back and then take it back again. So so we start maybe another 3 or 4 more projects. Right?
Correct. Yes.
Nice. And so have you guys gone to hard money now, or are you still using friends and family money?
No, we've gone to hard money. Yeah.
Okay. So now you could use some of that money for the gap. You mentioned take it and go do 3 projects. You're able to take it and use it as gap funding on 3 projects that hard money lenders could do.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. So I'm just running the numbers in the background while you were finishing like my question. You were in that property for probably like, $175. I don't know, maybe like $180 to $185.
Yeah.
Yep.
And 190, you said?
Yeah, 196.
Oh, 196. Oh, okay, good. So 196 with all closing costs, money costs, all that stuff. And if it did appraise at 280, you could have pulled all your money out. Kept it as a rental. So what would that house rent for? Do you know?
About 1500 or 1600.
Or 1600. So you mentioned the 1% rule. For those listening, 1% is like, if it sold for 280,000, like the ARV was that, you'd want to get about 1%, so $2,800 a month. So they're achieving $1,600 a month, which is not a 1% rule, but it's a good house, might actually appreciate. There's some of that stuff that gets involved in the equation as well. I was buying at 1% in 2016 and 17 when I was really trying to buy a bunch of single family rentals, and worked out really well for me. So you could still cash flow this thing potentially if you had a $200,000 loan. Probably be like break even type house. So looking for a house that probably rents for more, which you mentioned, a duplex or triplex or quad. And would that be in the same place? You'd be looking in Pittsburgh for those rentals also?
So yes, because we have like a team set up properly and up and running. So we're pretty comfortable with Pittsburgh, but then I'm also looking at Ohio, Michigan, all of those states, because the entry point is really very less. And then people are still moving to those areas, and the state is still booming because, there are factories, universities, different industries. So we're looking at all of those markets too.
And all are within driving distance. So for us, that's also a good parameter.
Nice. Okay. So what are some things that you can share with the people that are listening that you learned that, that helped you through this project that might help them?
So the most important thing here is the extent of the rehab. That's very important. You shouldn't always, you know, should look at what you're aiming for in the ARV and then not go overboard with the rehab. So there were a number of things which we could have done even in this project. It only had one bathroom. We could always add another half bath, you know, on the at the main floor level. But we avoided, you know, the going that route. And instead, we just concentrated on finishing the kitchen. We did open out the kitchen. So we broke a wall and then we added
we made like a cutout.
A cutout and a dining counter. So for breakfast, etc. But I think the buyers, they really appreciated what they're getting because this was like a first home buyer, first buyer home for them. And in fact, one of the purchasers, they wrote a very touching, emotional letter when they applied for the house. So, you know, that was how we have, and we tried to do everything as per the inspection report. So that also really helps. And it's a, like a peace of mind, you know, with the home warranty and things like that. So everything was new, the roof, all the appliances, you know, we took care of everything in the inspection report, the furnace, the air conditioning, everything was new. But still, when we provide a home warranty, in case there's a roof leak, about up to $1,000, it's covered. So that's an additional. And then they did go into detail in terms of sewer, you know, the sewer scoping and things like that. So all that was all covered in the home warranty too. So that's like a peace of mind. So if you're buyer focused, I'm really sure that we should be able to sell fast in any market.
That's great. What kind of resources did you use from the seven-figure runway program during this time? Like, what are some things that maybe helped you, or maybe it's the accountability group or the videos? I don't know.
So I'm pretty vocal in terms of, you know, being on the group, and I'm like pretty active. So whatever, you know, if I have some questions regarding, you know, if I should do this, or maybe, you know, regarding rehab, if I should do this or do that. So I tend to like post questions, and then we have such a, you know, diverse community in the runway group that, you know, it helps us to like, you know, get answers. And even the coaches, like some of our flight coaches, they were like, you know, if the, you know, whatever you're investing, if it has enough returns, you should be adding, you know, that. So with in terms of, you know, like rehab, going into this property, we were like, I wanted to like make it into an open floor plan and stuff, but then, you know, we didn't have so much money to like do all of that. So you have to kind of get creative in terms of, you know, what you can do and what you can. So I ended up, you know, having like a cutout inside the, you know, kitchen wall so that more light can go through the kitchen, because it works, right? Anything creative. And we ended up making like a bar counter so that, you know, it helps to sell the house faster.
So Sohail actually uses a lot of the checklists and everything which is there in the ENA content and in the seven-figure flipping group. And also he looks at all the specs, you know, the interior designing and all that, the specs for bathroom and everything, like all the specs are mentioned there, right?
So, yeah, everything. Yeah. So like I go from pin to cano, everything should be covered. There's a whole checklist on seven-figure flipping where you can find that, oh, you should be doing this, and then everything is mentioned line by line item. So I, whenever I get a quote from my contractor, I go check this out, line by line, you know, so I'm not missing anything, any details that I'm not I'm missing. I'm like, if I go by that checklist, I'm like crossing everything out. So like even my contractor, sometimes they're like, oh, we didn't account this, you know, whether, and then I'm like, yeah, I catch everything, you know, like
he also used the no lien certificate from the contractor, and also recently the promissory note.
Yes.
Yeah. So it uses a lot of all those documentation that we have in seven-figure flipping.
You're a true engineer.
Yes.
The checklist, yes. The details. All right. What would you say to somebody who's on the sideline, wants to get started and just feels kind of stuck? Like they want to do
it. I want to do this because, when we were there at the seven-figure flipping event, live hacking event, I remember your words, and I'm quoting you, relentless action. That's what I go by, you know, like I'm not stopping any, like, you know, I don't want to stop at anything, and keep doing what you're doing. Keep your heads down and you will achieve success. That's what I go by. Big fan of you, Bill. Like, love your work.
Yeah. And we consider you as our guru, our mentor. So.
Yeah.
In India, you always say guru, right? So,
well, in India, I think a guru is a good thing. In America, it seems like the real estate guru is a bad thing. I'll take it either way. You know, it really doesn't bother me. But I'm thankful to be on the journey with you guys and to spend some time together when you were here in January. Really great getting to know you a little bit better, and everybody, like, you know, spending time on the farm and at the barn and at the office, and really being able to dive in with some of you on some of the scenario based training and stuff that we did in person. I enjoyed the events. I enjoyed the people who, because look, these are the people that are serious, right? You go to a big event, you got 1,000 people there, and then you got the people who won't take the next step, and the serious people, you know? And not only that, it's the people who also have left their family. They've taken some time to come to the office, and we get to spend, you know, the time together after hours. You know, it's not just during the event, but it's whatever we get, you know, see each other at the barn party that we're having with music and all that stuff, and getting the opportunity to FaceTime with your wives and say hi and meet each other, right? Because you guys are away, right? And they don't know what you guys are doing. And to be able to, you know, meet them and say hi and all that stuff. Like you guys said, like, we listen to this.
We really
voice
appreciate that.
Yeah, it means a lot.
Well, I mean, but you asked me to. And honestly, anybody here asked me to, I would say yes. So it was really cool to get to know you all. And I think that's what it's about. It's taking the next step and saying, okay, we're serious about this. Let's get going. Let's ramp things up. And you guys are listening. I can tell. I was a little worried when we first met, and you guys are telling me all these things that you're doing and all these plans, and you're mapping out all these ideas. And I've seen it go well. And I've also seen it go the wrong way too, a little bit wrong. And so if we're here to just kind of be some guardrails to say, hey, think about this, like,
absolutely,
it's okay to maybe do 50 houses this year instead of 100, you know, and just, you do it the right way and learn from other people's mistakes. So, all right. How can people find out more information about you guys? Like, and what do you guys need? Do you need anything? Do you need more people with $175,000 or so? Do you need more deals? Do you need some connections in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia? What, you know, how can the audience help you guys?
So in terms of what we need, is for sure, like, we'll need private investors. If people are looking out for, like,
making money,
if people want to make more money, join us. We bought swag too. So
if people do a loan, they get a really nice shirt like that.
Yes. I'm we can do that too. And then I'm looking for, like, wholesalers in Pittsburgh. So that's we can, you know, relate this message to wholesalers in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. So if you have something for us, we are here to, like, you know, if we find it, it's a good deal, we probably give you an offer. So yeah, we're looking for.
And we are really looking for a lot of things from seven-figure flipping. So when we were there in January, we practically got a blueprint of how to launch the wholesaling business from Adam Whitney, from you, from Lindsay Arco. And we are going to start working on it just as soon as the money comes in.
He just checked his phone again.
refresh.
So, so that's a piece where we'll need a lot of help from Seven Figure Flipping. And I'm sure it's, like, going to be great. And that's, Sohel said, capital raising also. Yeah, we'll be doing the 500K challenge and things like that. So. As well. So seven-figure flipping, to all our listeners, is a group which I would like to have in Canada too. And so it's to inspire Canadians, because now there are a lot of Canadians investing in the US.
Yep.
And I've seen a lot of Canadian mentors here who are, speaking more and more about investing in the US.
So they're selling their Canadian portfolio and investing in the US. So we want to like start something over here where we want to, because they're motivated, right? They don't have or they don't want to because they're scared of the tenant situation over here, landlord and tenant situation.
Yeah.
But then if we have all of that motivated, you know, investors going into the US, that will help, you know.
And I think it's always better to join a US-based group. There's no limits to what can be achieved, right? And once you have your Canadian company set up and the US company set up, I think it's, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's better that you follow the US group rather than a Canadian group.
Yep.
Mm. Well, I appreciate you guys being here. How can people get in touch with you? Let's say they're a wholesaler in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or have a bunch of money and they want some awesome swag. Like, how can
So you can go visit our website at www.13buildersinc.com. And I have an Instagram page too, Mantri Builders_Inc. There you can, you know, find our, you know, what we do. I post videos of, you know, rehab, drone shots of projects, you know, what is happening. So I'm like doing multiple things here and there. Yeah, that's, you know, that we have our contact information on our website. So check us out.
Cool. So Mantri, right?
Yes.
Mantri Builders. Inc.com
or yes.
Okay. Mantri Builders Inc.com. And we'll put it in the show notes in the description so you guys can check it out. It'll be in the email. And if you're not on our email list, go to 7figureflipping.com and jump on our email list. They got Mantri Builders underscore Inc. on Instagram. We have 7figure flipping on Instagram. So go check us all out and follow us and we'll do some really cool stuff. Same with YouTube. We got a great YouTube presence going on for 7figure flipping. And if you're interested in joining these guys and blowing the roof off your real estate investing business and going from flipping like and wholesaling one house a year to one house a month, potentially leaving your full-time job, leaving, you know, what you hate right now and doing this full-time or a massive, incredible side hustle like these guys have going on after hours and doing both, which is pretty incredible. They're making full-time W-2 income. And they're probably not making any less than they were making before. They were making 60K. And they just got it. Well, soon when it all refreshes, they'll get $60,000. And, you know, it's incredible, right? And so it's possible. It's totally possible. I was doing it when I was flying airplanes for the Navy, you know, flipping houses on the side, wholesaling houses on the side after hours. And you can do it too. Go to 7figurerunway.com. So the number 7figurerunway.com and fill out an application and we'll give you a call. We'll reach out. And if it works out, you come in and join us. So really excited about the future event we have coming up here in May. Some really exciting things planned for all of our members and for all you guys listening. So thank you guys for being here. I really enjoyed it. And I'll see everybody on the next show. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill.